During my sabbatical last summer, I made myself a promise to work through some of the books that had been piling up on my shelves in my office. They weren't the fun summer reads, those were in a separate pile, larger than this one, I have to tell you, but rather some more theological books that I had been wanting to read but had not been able to make the time to open them. One of these books was a book by Kate Buller. She's written a couple of books, but the one that I reached for was called Everything Happens for a Reason and the Other Lies That I Have Loved. This book chronicles her journey through her stage 4 colon cancer diagnosis and treatments at the age of 35 years old. She discusses her own thoughts and truths she finds in addition to chronicling conversations that will make you laugh and cry. But at the core of the book is this untruth that many of us have been taught and have absorbed throughout our lifetime. Everything happens for a reason. Or another flavor of it, God has a plan. Or even sometimes, when God closes a door, God opens a window. You get the idea. And this is what the workers are asking in this parable that we are given today. Why are there weeds? How does this happen with good soil, with good seeds? They asked the owner of the property, "Didn't you use good seeds? How could weeds have grown here?" And there is part of me that just smiles at this confusion, as I imagine was Jesus' intention with this little twist of this parable. I don't know about your experiences, but I can't think of a time that I have worked in my garden or in any green space, period, where there have not been weeds. In fact, I wonder, is it even possible to have fertile ground and not have weeds? They grow everywhere. They grow in rocks, they grow in cement. Have workers never worked in a field before? Weeds are everywhere. They're in every garden, in every field, in every open space. Why would the workers even think that there would be no weeds? But in this parable, Jesus paints them sympathetically. They are trying to understand how could this have happened after all the careful planning and work. They followed the instructions. They abided the rules. Why are there weeds? And similar to last week's parable about the sower and the seeds, there are actually two parts to this parable. The first part, when Jesus tells the parable, is actually shared with his disciples only. We lose that part of the text when we read just the gospel reading for today. Jesus has taken them away from the crowds for a few moments, and he's telling them this parable about wheat and weeds. And then there are several verses that we skip for this week in between these two. Spoiler alert, they'll be coming up next week. And yes, they are more parables. And then there's the second part, what I call the parable code. Jesus deciphers what each element means. A equals B, C equals D, very straightforward, very simple. And similar to last week's parable, this section was added on at a later time. It is sort of the code that's written for the community that would have been listening to this gospel at the very beginning. This little community of Jewish Christians that were trying to define themselves. They were trying to figure out who they were, particularly in a larger community where an emerging rabbinic Judaism community is coming out of. Essentially, these two groups were competing for the same followers, and this minority community of Jewish Christians were struggling to try and explain why some people were not holding fast to the teachings of the early church. They were trying to hold this new community together and to understand who they were and who they and who they weren't. So Jesus shares this parable in a string of parables. So what do we do with this story now? I think Jesus might be pointing us in a direction. And I think Kate Ballard's book describes this direction in maybe more modern terms. After her emergency surgery and questions about whether she will even survive, she finally gets to a point where she's actually recovering. And she's attempting to find what her next steps will be. And one of them becomes an experimental treatment. Unfortunately, her insurance won't cover this treatment, and Kate cannot figure out how to get past this impasse. So in a moment of inspiration, or perhaps desperation, she emails two professors she knows at Duke University, where she teaches, that are sort of remotely involved in the university hospital there, to see if there is anything at all they can do. It is a shot in the dark, but she has nothing to lose at this point. And both of the professors reply almost immediately, "I'm on it. Let me see what I can do." They tell her later they are so grateful that there's actually something that they can do for her. They shook every tree possible, and within about 24 hours, Kate begins to receive emails. Her treatment has been approved by the insurance company. And she reflects in her book that she has done absolutely nothing to receive this gift. It has all been done for her by these two wondrous people that just wanted to help. This is what I think Jesus is pointing to us in this parable. And it's such a simple thing, we almost look right past it. They are all plural. The workers are plural. The reapers are plural. The seeds are plural. The weeds are plural. Nothing is done alone. The parable doesn't point to how one worker discovered the weeds, or even how one reaper was tasked with collecting the harvest, or even how one seed was surrounded by weeds in the fertile soil. They all have a role to play. There is a reason and a purpose for their part in the parable. And this is one of those interesting parts of parables. Which role do you identify when you read it? This identification will often change when you come back to this parable in different seasons of your life. As you read it again, you notice a different angle, a different story, a different role. Sometimes we are the good seed, and we are surrounded by weeds and we cannot see out. We need to ask for help from the workers and the reapers and the property owner. And we have to trust God will provide that help in the form of casseroles or medical professionals or compassionate listening. And other times, we are called to be the workers. We show up with the casseroles. We drive to the medical appointments. We offer a shoulder to lean on. So why do bad things happen to good people? Why do those weeds grow with the good seeds? The parable doesn't answer that question. I don't even think the gospel answers that question, and I have not found a satisfactory answer in the Bible yet. But the way that I've come to understand it is that I don't understand it. And it is frustrating, and it makes me angry, and sometimes it makes me just want to scream. Because it's beyond my comprehension. I am not God. I cannot control it. I cannot get my hands around it. I cannot predict what's going to happen. And I can't prevent bad things from happening. And as much as I desperately want to protect those I love, it is not what I can do. That is what happens in God's time at the harvest. And Jesus describes this good soil, the soil that has been tended and prepared, the soil that the good seeds grow in. I think this good soil can be thought of as hope. Christian hope, to be more specific. In the back of the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer, there's a chapter called An Outline of Our Faith. I recommend it to you all. In it, there is a description of hope. The Christian hope is to live with confidence in newness and fullness of life. It goes on to state that we are to await the completion of God's purpose for the world, and that our assurance is that nothing, not even death, shall separate us from the love of God. So why do the weeds grow? We don't know. The good seeds are planted in the freshly tilled soil. They are cared for and they will be harvested. But the weeds are also there. And we are called to trust that all will be cared for in God's time, in the harvest, and that nothing will separate us from that love. Amen.